Blog Talk Radio.
Of Finding You with Marvin Ron. Welcome, welcome once again, and we thank you for joining us for another episode of your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. It is Finding You with Marvin Ron and my co-host Stan Macklin. We have a wonderful show scheduled for you as always, and we would like to do first, as always, is allow you to experience the Empowerment Pledge. And that pledge is simply, I will work on myself. I will work on my issues, my concerns, my hurts, and my pains. I will, with support and assistance, strive to develop the tools necessary for me to become a better person. I will welcome growth within myself by acknowledging that I am becoming better every day, one day at a time. And that's all it takes, just one day at a time, to be able to look at yourself, to examine your ways, to work on the things that you need to work on and change about yourself. And that is what life is all about. It's a process of change. It's a process of growth. And you have the opportunity today and every day to work on yourself and make changes necessary in your life to improve. So, with that being said, working on yourself is important. Live your life with love, compassion, gratitude, joy, and humility every day, and you'll see your world change. That is it. Without further delay, we bring to you live from our Harrisonburg studios, it's my good friend and co-host Stan Macklin. Stan, are you available?
An episode of Finding You.
Stan?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, welcome. How are you?
Doing good, my brother. Looking forward to another fine episode.
Well, guess what?
What's that?
Today is Potluck Wednesday.
All right.
The hodgepodge of communication, ideas, thoughts, and current events that may impact the lives of our listeners. So, what do you have for us today on Potluck Wednesday on Finding You?
Well, there's a lot going on, and just being able to feast off of what's available for us is something that's good. I think I'd like to take us to a statement that was made by U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Uh-oh.
He made a You know who that is?
Yep.
A lot of people don't know. He
that's
only speaks
good.
About once every year. But he only speaks, you know, when it comes to the cases and so forth. I don't know, he's on mute, but when he speaks, it's basically something that's ridiculous, or it gets your attention. And he did it again. This wasn't on a case, but he said that since the 1960s, Americans have become too race sensitive. Too race sensitive. Now, how in the world can we be too race sensitive when that's America's original sin? Can you tell me that? I just don't understand that. And for those of you in the listening audience that don't know, Clarence Thomas is a U.S. Supreme Court justice. He's there for life, so he's secure, and he could be more influential in the right way, but he's not, of that particular persuasion. But in the old days, they had a classification for a person who was basically like that. They called him a houseman. I'll be very modest, a houseman. And it seems like he's doing that. But let's talk about that a little bit. How in the world can we here in the 20s, it is the 21st century now. It's not the 60s. And he said we're two race centers. I don't think we're sensitive enough. I don't think so, because the structures that exist are a reflection of race.
True.
That was established by a race of people that wanted to have a white society.
Mm-hmm.
And those structures reflect that. And I think that it doesn't just stop there, but it also goes into exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in order to have a more just society, America has to be more like a tossed salad, which it has become. The world has come here. There's every nation under the stars, sun and the moon, that are here in America now. And, you know, the old term was a melting pot. I think we're kind of about beyond that, to the place where no particular race here should have to excommunicate themselves from their heritage,
mm-hmm.
their identity. And so, you know, if it gets into the question of what does it mean to be an American, that's the real issue. And I think our main thing is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and, of course, justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
That should be one of the fundamental goals, but it seems like there's still a segment, a large portion of society that doesn't want to reflect true representation of people. And I'm talking about people who are U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's a challenge for them in many ways, and especially in terms of economic disparities. And so if you look at that, I don't think, you know, people have a tendency to think, well, just because the professional athletes are seen living large, everybody's like that of that particular ethnicity. And that's not the case. That's
true.
Not true. And so I think race is definitely still problematic. I think that we have to work together to have a reflection of a rainbow where we don't rob ourselves of the wonders of diversity, because each culture has some richness and some uniqueness to bring to the table. And as we sit at the table together, we just build a more just and meaningful society. What do you think about that?
Oh, man, you got it. You got it.
Well,
hey, look, when can you find a rainbow? You know, and the beauty of a rainbow that we all can see at the end of a storm. And so this rainbow that we talk about is the galvanization of communities and people and cultures and ideas and skin colors. And it's just all a hodgepodge of human beings on this earth coming together. And, you know, we talked about this melting pot that America is. And it should be reflective of that in every aspect as much as possible. The reflection of the rainbow and the reflection of the melting pot should be on our county and city boards. It should be on the federal and state levels everywhere that includes people of all races, all genders, and all types that can be a true reflection of what America is. And you know, like I know, that if you don't begin to include individuals of all aspects of America, then you really don't get the true essence of what she is and what she could be.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, you have to have a real conscious effort to do that, because the makeup of a lot of our county boards, our city councils, commissions and panels and so forth, they just don't look like people of color. Now you can easily sprinkle in some tokenism, you know, tokenization, to have some so-called representation, but that's not where it's at.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would Clarence Thomas then be an example of tokenism? Because he doesn't seem to, in my mind, from what I've heard and read, to have been a victim of racism. For some reason, and although he is African American,
don't leave out sexism too.
Yeah, although he's African American, he seems to have been able to transcend that, and so because his life has given him that advantage, so to speak, then he doesn't see why others who possibly couldn't experience life on his terms could understand what's really going on. Is he too far removed
from the reality
of America and its racism?
I mean,
inequality and exclusion.
If you play the game, okay, with no shame, I think that you will migrate, and you can enter into the realms of possibility like he has. He is a United States Supreme Court justice. There's always one. There's never been two on there at the same time. One is enough, to my knowledge. If there's anyone in the listening audience, you can feel free to correct me and feel free to chime in. Our call-in phone number is 646-716-4702. We'd love to hear from you, love to hear what you say, because we know you're out there listening, and but you're welcome to come in, because this is definitely an equal access show, and you can say what you want to say. But saying what I just said, I think that Clarence Thomas has achieved that. Now, he identifies basically what is called the right and the religious right. And the right says right is always right. And there's several ways to look at it. Those on the left can say that, say different too. But I say it like this. It takes a right wing and a left wing to fly an airplane. Of course, the engine is the middle. But that's God. Come on now. We're all human beings, and no human being has the right as a creation of God to look down on another creation of God.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have no right to do that.
True.
Now, we know God established some orders and so forth in terms of dominion and that. It says about some stuff like that, but on earth. But man has just made a mess of a lot of things. He has. He just has. And I have to say that. And race is one of them. Race,
mm-hmm.
He's used race to literally just mobilize and manipulate all. But back to my comment on Clarence Thomas, he's arrived. He's got a lifetime secure job. He could be more influential than he is. And I think that if you play the game, you will get places. Remember now, being in the house, there's benefits to being in the house than being in the field.
What?
Now, well, I don't think you ever picked any cotton. I never picked any either, but I've seen some people pick cotton. And there's some pros and cons about it, but that field is real. It ain't no joke. You a field worker, it's some joke. It's some real, real stuff there. But there was some benefits of being in the house. And so if you're going to play that game, there's some benefits, but are those benefits really meaningful? To the extent that you lose your morality, you lose your consciousness, you lose your compassion for humans, for your fellow human beings,
mm-hmm.
and you see yourself ego-tripping constantly and above the means of where you are because you ego-trip because of who you think you are, and you think you right up there with God. Something's wrong with that. And so, you know, He's sharing the way he feels, but his representation is misdirected. Did I answer your question, brother? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, look. Let me ask you this then: Would you consider this to be a stereotype? You know, we talked about stereotypes a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Would it fall in that category, that the comment that he made?
Stereotyping goes both ways.
Hmm.
You heard me mention about tokenism.
Uh-huh.
You can be a token. You can be one. You know, the old adage is one is enough. And you can be stereotyped in who you are because you still have to do it. You know, I've been in situations, you know, and so forth that I've been stereotyped and that. And it's not nothing pretty, but you can also be stereotyped because of your being classified with a certain group of people and different
mm-hmm.
things. So it's a two-edged sword. There's just a hatred for people of color. It used to be, of course, you know, black, but now it's people of color, period. You know, it just is. And it's almost like this Custer last stand, you know. You know, like, you know, there's something to that. You know, Custer didn't just die for nothing in terms of what he would call himself standing for. He died taking a stand. They used to call him the long hair, blue eye, blondie. Yeah, they did. And so the point of it is that stereotypes are very real, very real. I think coming up next week, you're going to be not in the area of stereotyping, but you're going to be having another influential group of Americans that are in the United States of America and right here on the program, and you're going to have someone from the Latino community mm-hmm. to be able to speak. And so I think that's important. I think we have to be, actually, like I said, equal access, because I believe in working with my brothers and sisters of color, and I believe that it's important to network together. As you know, I'm a big fan of Harriet Tubman. She just didn't do it by herself. There was a network of abolitionists and free slaves who worked together, rich, poor. They did it, and they dismantled that evil system. They did. So we got to be able to network together, and hearing voices from the different communities is so unique, so important. I'm just glad that we're able to offer that on Finding You.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to a great show next week. You want to tune in, tell a friend, we're having a great show next week. I just want to be, just for a moment, man, just bounce into this realm of stereotypes a little bit more, see what we can pull out of it, because it seems that many people are unaware of the invisible stereotypes that still remain. But also along with that are negative attitudes and oppressions of people of color, not only African Americans. And so these stereotypes that are now invisible most of the time are often accepted as true. And so we're operating in a mindset that has already been developed for us, and we have to be able to define this problem and then take the crucial step of intervention where we begin to examine and pull out those things as they go along. Because what's happening is, in this society, a lot of us are just walking zombies. We're really not, just like Clarence Thomas, no disrespect to him, but he is in his life. He is performing the roles and duties of his life that does not allow him to be on the ground with the regular, everyday, average citizen. And so he has formed his own ideas based on his reality and his experiences. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think he has to be able to understand what the people are all about, and I think he's so far removed, and that would be the essence of his comment in my mind. But we have to challenge stereotypes. What do you think?
Well, I want you to expand a little bit more on that stereotypes. Are they invisible? Are they the unseen? Or just the obvious is very obvious. Expand on that a little bit more.
Well, when I say invisible, because they're already embedded. And anything that's embedded in your mind, you don't necessarily have to readily see or understand that it's there to know that it's there.
So wait a minute.
We have descriptive issues. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what you're saying is we don't need no microchip in us. There's already an embedded microchip in us.
Yeah. Yeah,
in terms of ideology?
Yeah. Yeah. Just think about how we look at each other. Just look at the terms that we use on a regular basis, in terms of even how African Americans call each other the N-word.
Yeah, I had a flashback when you said that, because I remember, not so much now, but I remember a lot of people were just color stroke. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, I believe that, you know, black is beautiful. I'm you know, and, you know, old saying is, if you're black, get back. And I know of my complexion, because I think I'm a handsome African-American, older African-American, but I think I'm handsome. And the thing about it is that I know that I didn't allow that saying, well, if you like you all right. And if you brown, you stick around. You know, I didn't lie, especially with females. I know that they call them, man, I'm really going back, red bones. Some of y'all might not have heard that in the listening audience, but I think you can resonate with me, the wrong one, from a red bone. And, man, I mean, some of the people that was of dark complexion, they just love them red bone young ladies. And those ones that, you know, they say you're pretty on the outside, but you're ugly on the inside, you know, and that's, you know, because of the way some of them just acted and so forth, that old color thing, color stroke, you know, and that was something that people went through, because I guess if you talk about that embedded chip, and it may be, you know, if we're talking about an idea, that you were inferior. And just like by you being light, that puts you next to white. That don't make it right. Am I right?
True. Yeah, yeah. Slavery impacted the whole America in its entirety. And so, you know, we have these descriptions that, particularly for African Americans, Sambo, Mammy, Aunt Jemima, Sapphire, Jezebel, you know, the ones that we readily know of. And we continue on an everyday basis to identify not only ourselves subconsciously, but all other aspects of our communities. See that light that was shined back in Jim Crow, where it was created to say these are the characteristics of, for example, African Americans. And then words like, for example, wet backs and chinks and all of those things.
Broad nose, big lips.
Yeah, you know, and we have to be, because it's embedded. Why do I even know that word? And why would you call an individual a wetback or even a cracker?
That's wrong.
I mean, we'll have to look at it for what it is, but these attitudes, we have to be able to look at it because they're toxic, and we have to be able to eliminate them because it is a problem as we define ourselves going forward in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that a part of it is the media and how people are being portrayed, and we have to examine that all the time, and we have to have conscious discussion, identify them, pull them out, and display them as we go along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there has to be a sensitivity. And I think, you know, I say one of my famous sayings that I like saying is, professionally we're integrated, but socially we're still segregated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are. I think it's easy to congregate in your own group, stay within the bubble, your comfort zone, and do things totally within that context.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't come out of that at all. Coming out of the comfort zone really moves you into the growth zone, because you start experiencing people that don't think like you, people that don't look like you, people that don't act like you. How do you navigate in the midst of that? Or do you emerge where you're engrafted or integrated into that? I mean, there's a lot that we neglect, but we preserve. Now, at the same time, as I was talking to a white supremacist one time, he told me, he said, you a fool. I said, well, I'm a fool? Because you're not about the preservation of your race. He said, you be integrating and trying to hook your young men up with our young women and so forth. He said that's gonna eventually eradicate our race. Now I understand what he's saying, but I think a person ought to have the freedom and the right to choose who they love. That's what I feel personally. Period. And shouldn't be worrying about the eradication of the African American race. I think you need to be on point to know that you are a defender of your heritage. You think I jumped off into the deep with that one? But I'm
no.
saying is that you need to, or we need to learn how to mingle, to relate with one another. And that comes with you and I spending time together.
Right. That's true.
Race haters just don't do that because they're uncomfortable. They don't know how to do it. And the race haters don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to be willing to cross those barriers.
Yeah, because discussion of racial stereotypes and attitudes in a safe format allow people to explore.
Yeah.
You know, and to discuss and discard those things. I'll give you an example. I said wetback, I said chink, and then there's a word, spick, but I, in my own thing, yeah, cracker, but I didn't say nigger. I said N-word, you
see?
Right,
and so
those words were offensive. Yep, go ahead.
That's right. Why didn't you say that?
Exactly, because I am operating out of a mode myself where I don't see those words as being completely disrespectful as I do the N-word. You see? So we have to continue as individuals to reassess our own prejudice and biases.
That's
all
right.
The time.
Right.
To affect change within ourselves.
Because prejudice kills.
Yeah.
And suspicion destroys. And you see that word, that N word, as an offensive word, but to a person that say, like, so the Latino community, saying wetback might be offensive.
Exactly.
You see? And so we have to learn the sensitivities that cause us to respect one another. And but that's a good point you brought out. Really, it is. You know what I've been saying more and more? I admit I'm racist. I'm racist because, you know, I've been indoctrinated to racist in racist structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to allow those thoughts to dominate areas of my life that I practice that. And I think that we have to work at that. We have to work at that because the structures are designed to promote that. And we have to resist that.
True.
We have to make sure that our structures are structures of inclusion, not exclusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so that's what Finding You is all about. So as we find ourselves
working on
in America, and as we find ourselves with racist ideas, and as we find ourselves as a Supreme Court judge in America or a council person or a supervisor, wherever you find yourself now in America, make it your duty to begin to examine your own attitudes and your own ideas and your own possible stereotypes and reassess your own prejudice and biases to begin to affect that change that we need across the board in a non-judgmental way. Because this process has to be a process of self-exploration, but also of inclusion, where we can sit and we can talk about these concepts until we eradicate them. It's not too late.
It's right. It's not too late. And my prayer, my thoughts and desire is that this empowerment network can grow to where it can be inclusive of the representation of the different ethnicities.
Yeah.
To have their space. I think that would be beautiful. Music, talk show, specials. I just want to thank you, Brother Roan, for the connection that you have and the opportunity to make this a unique network where it's reflective of that. And I think that's so important. So I pledge myself to work with you in any way, form, or fashion to bring that into reality. And I think it's happening. It may be slowly, but surely it will be reality.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all a part of finding our purpose. And so every day as we find ourselves in our lives, take a step back, look at yourself, examine your ways, examine your thoughts, examine your behaviors, and you might find that you could be operating out of a stereotype. You could be operating out of a misconcept, a misidea. Get yourself to a place where you can become objective and observing, where some things that you say could be hurtful. So as we wrap this show up, we got about 50 seconds I'm looking at. Let's wrap this show up with some promise to our listeners and to our community about what we can do to eradicate these stereotypes and the forms of exclusion in America.
Well, you know, we talked about Clarence Thomas, U.S. Supreme Court Supreme Court Justice, majority of the show. So that should let you know that race is serious. Make a conscious effort to love all races of people, because the God I serve, the God that made the world, is concerned about race.
All right. And there you have it. It's another episode of Finding You with Marvin Roan and Stan Macklin right here on Blog Talk Radio. Each day, Thursday through Tuesday now, we're doing Empowerment 365, 6 a.m. You don't want to miss that. Tune in 646-716-4702 is our number to call. And also, Also, love on someone, be peaceful, and by all means, become the best person that you could be today.